The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. Thanks so much for being here. We realize it's a long morning of classes, and it's Friday, and you're dying to get home and start your weekend, so we appreciate that you came out. What we thought we'd do is just quickly have you introduce yourselves and your interests, and then we're going to introduce ourselves and tell you about the practice group.
Then we'll just start here with Rafael.
I'm Rafael Hernandez, from Atlanta, and I've always been involved with immigration in Atlanta, and so I wanted to do law and wanted to just involve immigration in it, so that's my plan.
Excellent, let's talk.
Hi, my name is Juliana. I've been involved with the immigrant rights community in New York City, in Long Island. So I'm interested in immigrant rights, immigration reform, the State Dream Act policy, stuff like that.
Were you working with day laborers and stuff?
No. I was undocumented. So I was involved with the undocumented youth and advocacy and things like that.
My name is Brian Tan. I'm from Dallas, Texas. And my interest is with human trafficking and that nexus with immigration. I worked with victims for about 2 years.
So. Professor Chuan.
My name is Vanessa. I'm from New York, and I'm interested in international child rights and child labor, or the child labor aspect of it. And I've done some work with UNICEF and the World Bank. I'm interested in going into that.
My name is Gabriela. I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm interested in immigration law.
My name is Justina. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm interested in immigration law since both my parents are immigrants from Poland.
My name is Tiana, I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I'm also interested in immigration law, perhaps the resettlement of refugees and immigrants.
My name is Layla, I'm from Las Vegas, and I'm also interested in immigration. I worked in an immigration firm for a little bit, and just the community itself in Las Vegas is really big, immigration.
My name is Anne Garcia, I'm also interested in immigration, obviously. I worked at Center for American Progress doing immigration policy for 5 years prior to this.
My name is Cindy Garrow, and I am also interested in immigration policy for immigration law. I don't have much experience with immigration, but I did experience working for low income.
Hi, my name is Janie Williams. I'm from New York City. I'm actually interested in human trafficking, but I know it has a very good tie to immigration law. I'm trying to just work and things out.
I'm Gentian from Toronto. I'm actually here for the labor.
Great. Right. You're representing.
We just want to drop off snacks.
Good. Just put it right there, then people can go ahead and help. One person to introduce all for us.
I'm Erin. I'm not interested in immigration.
Well, that's not entirely true, but it's not my focus. I want to implement and labor law, workers' rights, and with that comes immigration, I guess. But that's also.
We're just introducing ourselves and your interests.
My name is Sarah. What are your name?
Yeah, and where you're from and what your interests are.
My name is Sarah. I'm from California, Bay Area. I'm interested in human rights and immigration. Just generally, I want to find out more about what kind of niche I want to find myself in.
I'm Umber, and I'm from New Jersey, and I'm interested in immigration and think specifically asylum law, but obviously not really sure yet.
Wow.
Great. All right. I'm pretty excited. Wow. Well, hi everybody. My name is Jay Chapatod. I'm a professor here at the law school. My primary teaching area is immigration law. I direct the Immigrant Justice Clinic, and in the past I've taught some courses at the intersection of immigration and employment law. I'm teaching in the clinic and teaching the survey course in immigration law, and I am thrilled to hear how much interest there is in the room on immigration.
And I'm Susan Carl, and I teach labor and employment law and employment discrimination, and
time off. And so my main areas are the labor and employment and employment and anti-discrimination law. But we work together. We have the best practice group of all. A lot of faculty are involved in the group. If you go to the pathway.
So I think what we'll do is just talk a little bit about what the practice groups do, right? What is their purpose? So in short, the purpose of the practice group is to create an infrastructure for you to get support as you chart both your academic program at the law school and also as you begin to think about what types of job opportunities you want to pursue and internships and beginning to create kind of a narrative or a pathway for yourself in that respect as well. And so the way in which we do that is we've set up a number of events. We have some panel discussions, right? So a lot of you are interested in immigration or labor and employment law. We're having one sometime this spring around careers in the government, right? So here at WCL, you often hear nonprofit stuff and sometimes government positions, but in both immigration and labor and employment law, there's a lot of good opportunities to work in the government. Even in immigration, you don't have to be deporting people, right? Work for the government. There's other meaningful, very interesting work in the field that many of you would be well qualified for, right, once you finish your time at the law school. So that's one thing that we do. We're also going to be doing academic advising. So right now, you're in your first year. In a couple of months, you're going to be signing up for 2L classes, right? That's super exciting because then you have all this freedom to take whatever you want. But with that freedom comes a little bit of uncertainty around, well, what do I do if I'm interested in employment discrimination or civil rights, or I want to do human trafficking, what should I take as a 2L? So we'll be setting up some academic advising for you around that time where you can meet with us and other professors to talk about that. We're also going to be setting up some networking stuff with alums, right, where you get to meet practitioners or graduates of WCL who are interested and are doing work in the same fields that you're interested in. They can talk to you about their career path. So those are some of the things.
And we need as a group, as faculty members, to do some of this planning and programming. We have a listserv that you sign up for. You sign up for the faculty practice groups, and hopefully many of you have already done that. And if you haven't, you should go ahead and do it. And that means you'll be on the listserv. And if I see a really cool employment opportunity in labor and employment or employment discrimination, I might send it out on the listserv to everybody who signed up, say, with Professor Retro. We might organize a networking session. We would announce it on the listserv. So it's really good to get signed up for the listserv.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the other thing is, do not be shy about coming to talk to us individually, especially after you read the pathway stuff so you have the basics down. But we all love to help you find jobs, including your job for this summer, for your first, your 1L summer. We know where people have gone in other years, and sometimes we have connections and can make the call. Sometimes we can't, but we can try. And we can certainly give you the benefit of our advice. And we've all, everybody here has had some practice experience in the field agency. So we, you know, we do have networks that we know stuff. And it's hard to tell you if you're not, if you don't come talk to us. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if you mentioned this, but how exactly do you sign up for the listeners?
You go to Pathways, which is a little hidden. I don't know why, but if there's a band on the top of the homepage of the webpage that says Pathways, it's kind of a little writing. You click on that, and then it'll be, you can see it'll say register, and you register, and then you put in your email and some other stuff, and then you just sign up. And you can sign up for as many as you want. You don't have to just pick one, you know, if you're interested in several areas. Sign up for something.
And I just want to reiterate what Professor Carl said about coming to visit. For those of you interested in immigration in particular, please come to my office and just say hi, introduce yourself. When I was in law school, I said this at all these meetings, I always felt like I couldn't go to a professor's office hours unless I had like a brilliant question to ask them. You shouldn't feel that way. We want to get to know you. We want to just learn about what your interests are. We want to be a resource for you, right? So don't be afraid. Any Socratic stuff on you in office hours. We're just want to talk to you and help you with your academic program here and your job search. And Professor Carl said, we know a lot of people, lots of graduates in the immigration. WCL has sent out tons and tons of graduates who are now working in all kinds of positions in immigration. And if you've worked in the field, you probably have come across them. So we're happy to make those introductions to folks. And in all the cities that you've mentioned, we know people, right, from WCL or elsewhere who can be a resource. So please, you're not doing the job search for yourself, we're here to help you.
Have they sent out anything yet, like confirming that you like have registered in the area doing that kind of thing? You know, did I get any?
Actually, the first thing was me too.
I think there was one problem was that the listener might not have been generating email to 1S. Okay. Now it will be. For the first year of your 1L year, you know, the understanding is that we should keep you just focused on your studies. That might be what happened. So I would just be on the safe side, just sign up again. It'll tell you if you already signed up, or you'll get two emails, but that's not the end of the world. Just to be on the safe side, but I think that's what the problem is.
Questions? So please spread the word, of course, to other students in your section and or in the class or on practice groups. And if students, imagine you're starting to meet students with similar interests, or if not, you know, there's obviously different practice groups for them.
I'd like to know, how many faculty members are part of this group?
About 10?
And is that for every practice group, or... Is there a limit on how many faculty members?
No, there's no limit.
And some of us are involved in more than one group, but, you know, more involved in whichever one we have a bigger, you know, coordinating role in. So I'm a member of the gender group, but usually I end up going to this group because co-coordinator. But it's all sort of loose and networking, you know, it's not at all rigid. But the idea is we really want to generate as much help as we can and, you know, as much connection as we can. And sometimes it's hard to figure out how to do it, you know, because it's a big school. And so we try to communicate like this. Even today, we had a little communication problem. Not all the doctoral faculty knew that we were doing this. I guess we emailed, but maybe they don't read their email. So, you know, sometimes there's little glitches that way. But if you just, it's really, the human connection really makes a difference. So just come ask somebody or talk to somebody if you feel, you know, like things are too bureaucratic.
I had a question regarding last semester. You guys were having like volunteers for translators for the clinic. Are you still able to do that this semester?
Yes, absolutely. So if you go to the clinic office in 417, there is you can just say I'd like to sign up to be an interpreter, and they will put you in touch with one of our program staff who will get you on.
Yeah, so we're still trying. We don't want you to do too much extracurricular stuff in your first year, but we have revised the policy to say you can do some outside stuff, you know, but just be really smart about it. Don't take on too much, but a little bit. It makes sense to start thinking about some commitments. There are a lot of cool student groups in all of our areas that you can start to get a little bit involved with, all kinds of things. We're happy to answer questions about those kinds of things, too.
And along those lines, in about a month, maybe less than that, you'll start to see applications for the clinic, right? And as you know, we have clinics that do work in all of these areas, human rights, immigration law, labor and employment law. And you may have heard that, well, it's not worth it, don't apply to clinic as a 1L. That is not accurate. I'm here to say, as somebody teaching in a clinic, that we are making a concerted effort this year in this application cycle to admit rising 2Ls into the clinic. All right? So part of it is because it helps you with your job search, right? To be able to say in your 2L year, hey, I did a rape justice clinic, I did a full year, I have all this great experience under my belt. then your 3L year, you're in a stronger position to be applying for jobs in the fall. Okay, so just be on the lookout for that. You're going to be hearing that message over and over. Please help spread the word around for rising 2Ls in the apprenticeship program. Are there things that would be helpful for you, right, that you're positioned in at the beginning of your second semester as you think about what the practice group?
What do you want us to do?
Yeah, what do you want us to do?
We'll do it. We'll try it. What would be helpful? And, of course, the externship fair is really key. You definitely want to get that on your calendar. It's a huge event. It's the biggest event in this area that, you know, 500 employers or something come. They love us. They love coming here, and so definitely do that. Aside from that, other things that we could be doing, think about it. Let us know.
I think it depends on how often the practice groups meet. So how often do you meet in a semester?
As faculty or with students?
With students. Or is it more of an individual one-on-one meeting that you prefer?
Well, we're open to it. In the past, we haven't had kind of informal meetings like this with students just to talk, but we can certainly
do it.
Usually
we do it around an event. If there's a panel discussion or there's a resume review workshop, we did that last year. We brought in practitioners in the field, and we asked you to bring your resume as good as you could possibly get. But, so this is not to teach you how to write a resume, but you've got this beautiful looking resume, but can you tweak it even a little more and make it even a little better? We did that. It was very successful. We did some mentoring stuff where we paired students with practitioners in the field, and the student would just go have coffee or go visit the practitioner. Some of them came in here, but some of them would go out to their office and just have like a 20-minute chat. Kind of information interviewing kind of thing. So we can do all of those things. It sort of depends on what would be most helpful for you. And we can also do it. We don't have to do it as a big thing. We can also, if I meet with you and I hear that you're interested in da-da-da, and I know an alum who likes talking about his or her career in that area, I can just connect you individually that way. That's sort of the kind of way we've been operating. But we could have meetings. But, it, you know, we would have to, there would have to be a reason for it, I think. We'd have to have some team or something that worked. And getting to know faculty, I think, is really important, because then we know about you and we've got you in our brain. And if we hear about this job and we know it fits with this, then we can connect it all up.
Is there an employment and labor law for next year?
There's not, but there's a lot of employment and labor that comes up in immigration clinic, it comes up in the civil justice clinic, it comes up a lot in the disability rights clinic, it comes up every now and then, as far as I know. I'm not even in the clinic. You should ask this question. But I know because people come consult me about this or that, but there's a lot of employment cases.
Yeah, there's several clinics. Professor Paul described it perfectly. So in the immigrant justice clinic, we do wage and hour cases. We have occasionally done you know, some employment discrimination cases, but we do quite a bit of labor trafficking cases, so T visas and civil relief, right, for labor trafficking. The civil justice clinic, civil advocacy clinic, they do quite a bit of wage and hour, right, low wage workers.
And the director of that clinic is a former employment lawyer.
Right.
So she's very interested in employment law. She's complex employment litigation. Leslie Green Coleman.
Right.
So you get a lot of employment there.
And also, this disability rights clinic does, I don't know, they handle some workplace.
There are also some other great things to do to get your feet wet in labor and employment law. There's the Employment Justice Center, and they you train there. You go
one. I'm there. Sorry.
Okay, so you already know about that. So that's a great thing to do. That's a great way. You don't. It's not like an every week commitment, but it's really cool, and you get a lot some experience. You put it on your resume. You meet some cool people. That's a really great. So you're on.
Sorry, what is that?
It's called the Employment Justice Center. And where's their office?
So, well, you don't ever go to their office, so they're in the Redford City off the Shaw Metro. or they're on the seaside, but that's kind of convenient. But they meet every Wednesday for the workers' rights clinic. And we do a training, they train you on their own volunteer. They're called intake volunteers. It's not really an internship, so and it's not like commitment at all. You just go whenever, every Wednesday, whenever you're free, you can go.
Right. It's 3 hours once a month, or once every 6 weeks, or whatever works for you. And students who have done that during the semester often end up with the internship in the summer.
Right.
So it's something to think about.
One of the volunteer opportunities that I'm thinking of remembering, so in the clinic, we have some of our student attorneys in the clinic are working on a project related to language access in the court system in Virginia. So we're going to need essentially observers who are going to be administering a very simple survey that involves attending court proceedings in Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax County, looking out for cases where one of the parties doesn't speak English, and to see how the court handles that, whether they provide an interpreter, whether they ask a family member to interpret, and it's part of a data collection effort around some advocacy work that the clinic is doing. So there'll be a meeting probably later this month where there'll be you all who are interested in doing that work will be trained on how to be an observer or a data collector, and then be part of this report that we're That's another kind of a smaller scale intervention, like being an interpreter or translator, where you can get involved and get some exposure to some of the work without overburdening yourself.
Also, think about Dean's Fellowship positions over the summer, either with doctrinal faculty or writing in the area that you're interested in. But also, a lot of the clinics hire Dean's Fellows. And those jobs kind of get picked up really quickly, and you're doing a little bit of practice work under an attorney supervision, so it's like working in a legal aid office, or is that right?
Exactly right. That's right. Yeah. It's a lot of, you get a lot of responsibility. It's kind of like being in the clinic in a way. So I encourage you to think about those as well.
Anything else? Well, it's nice to meet everybody.
Yes.
About that language access, do we email you or?
You can email me. Yeah, then I'll make sure you're on the list. Yeah. Feel free. That'd be great. And if anyone wants to come talk, I'm free until 3 o'clock about whatever. All right, don't be shy.
Where's your office?
428.
428.
428.
And I'm in 408.
Just down the hall. You can do a double.
Down the hall. Pull people off down the hall.
Yeah. Cool. How many of you speak a language other than English? How many of you speak some Spanish? Okay, cool. So this is something you want to think about. If you're interested in immigration, you got to work on that. We are starting to offer more. My immigration class is taught in English and Spanish, right? So that's something that you want to just think about working on your language skills. And that's another thing you can start to do is look for opportunities to continue to develop your language ability through volunteering, and because that's also going to be important, especially in these both labor and employment and immigration. A lot of jobs now are looking for bilinguals.
So true.
It
really is true.
The path that you're offering, is that something that's going to be available for our second semester?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
Second,
it's a 2L, yes. I'm not sure if I'm going to be teaching it next fall or next spring. I'm teaching it right now. I just started. So it'll be either semester.
Okay. Is this separate from the legal Spanish course?
It is different.
Okay.
It is different because it's tied to a specific substantive area. So you can, it's essentially like a normal 3-credit class, but then there's an extra hour where we take all the content that we just discussed and then we apply it and to talk about some of the concepts. Yeah. Other questions? Okay.